May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1040. When we lay in sin polluted, wretched and undone we were, all we saw and heard was suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been, but for grace. Hymn 1040.
Thank you. most holy word of God, Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark. Waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed, forevermore. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, do solemnize our hearts and minds now, we plead, that we might rightly approach unto one, that one that is most holy. Ah, that holy and a heart-searching God, a God that will not at all acquit the wicked. And we have to confess our sinnership. We have to confess that we are vile. Oh, we have to confess that, oh, there is sin mixed with all we do. Our very best is stained and dyed. Our all is nothing worth. Oh, we have to confess, truly our universal emptiness, our poverty and pride. We find we have to come in with the apostle of old, the good I would do, that I do not. And that which I would not do, that I do. Feeling that old nature ever present, and those bubblings up that take us by surprise. Oh, how a thought, yes, even in thy courts, a thought can arise in a moment which we will be ashamed to speak of. Oh, how wretched we are, how short we come, how much in need of mercy we are. and how dependent we are upon thy grace. How we are truly dependent upon thy grace. And so, Lord, we plead. Oh, may we be found even this evening as those beggars poor. Ah, the beggars poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Ah, that one with his wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, that one that can only smite upon his breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, Lord, if there are those that are like that one, that proud, self-righteous Pharisee, that one that had no need of Christ, he is satisfied with his own righteousness, that robe of his own making. Or if there are such, Lord, we plead, strip from them that filthy rag and bring them in as those beggars poor, those that feel themselves to be on the dunghill. Lord, convince of sin and lead to Christ. Oh, may it please you then. Look upon us each in mercy. Another year now has not many hours left of it. And how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Each one of us, oh, may there be that question that we ask of ourselves, stirred up by the Spirit, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Oh, if the bridegroom were to appear even this night, ere we come to another day, ere we come to another year, shall I be found wanting, or shall I be found like those wise virgins, with the oil of grace in their lamps and in their vessels? Oh, how solemn it was when we read that account. There were those 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, awaiting for the bridegroom to appear. Yes, they're all waiting for the bridegroom to appear. They're waiting to be invited into that same marriage feast. And they all look the same upon the outside. All look the same on the outside. No, Lord, as we plead this morning, we feel it so as we stand up in thy name that, yes, the disciples could not see any difference between themselves and that one that was to betray thee. Ah, Judas, they couldn't see any difference. Ah, how stands the case, my soul? Oh, have to ask it of oneself, but may we each ask of ourselves. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Oh, have I that hope through grace? Can it be said of each of us, and you hath he quickened? And you hath he quickened. Oh, without that quickening work, we're like those foolish virgins. We will have no oil in our lamps or in our vessels. We shall be destitute and found lacking, wanting at that time when the bridegroom shall appear. But oh, may it please thee. Take us each in hand, young, those in the midst of life, and those in the even time of life. Take us each in hand, and leave us not, to be found like those 5 foolish virgins. Oh, when they had to go off and try and purchase that, they returned, and how solemn was the case. The door was shut. Those that were ready and waiting, those which had that in that hall of grace in their lamps and in their vessels, the bridegroom came. They're invited in. The door was shut. Oh, may it please you then. Stir us each up. Lord, teach us to number our days, we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, as we realise we fast hasten on in a never-ending eternity, it's a tremendous sound indeed. And so, Lord, we plead, prepare us each. May this be our plea. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, that one, the beggar on the dunghill, now raised up as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. So, Lord, we plead. Look upon the hearts. Try the way. Search their hearts with that unerring light. And may it please them. Convince of sin. Lead even unto thee. Lord, remember each one in their pathway, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, thou knowest that which they walk in, and those cares and concerns, and no doubt often proving mountains, dark places, things hard to be understood, proving that thy word is true through much tribulation. Ye shall enter the kingdom. And those tribulations and trials, Lord, they must come and shall come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. But, O Lord, may they prove the sufficiency of thy grace and the blessed truth. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That one that has... Yes, has it not been so? Maintained each one thus far. Brought each one thus far. Yes, they may be walking in the midst of trouble even at the moment. Walking in the midst of a trouble, a dark place. And it seems there is no light, but all we read in thy word, that precious truth. Are they that fear the Lord, that obeyed the voice of his servants, but they walk in darkness and have no light. Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. So, Lord, we plead, and we verily believe, and a truth is it not, that oil of grace which we tried to speak of this morning, that which ever flows and is not dependent upon a man, is not dependent upon a man's ability, his ingenuity, his strength or his wisdom, but it's that free, unmerited favour of Almighty God to a poor sinner. They shall prove, even as a hymn writer penned it, a fullness resides in Jesus our head that ever abides to answer our need, a fullness that will sustain them, hold them up in it, and yet in time, yes, blessed be thy holy name, bring them through. Oh, thou'd have to prove this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There'll be many times of weeping, many times of sorrow, and crying unto the Lord. But I will not leave you comfortless. And like those two upon the Emmaus road, they were walking there, were they not, in that sorrow? They couldn't understand those things which had taken place, and it seemed that there was no hope anymore. Where was their Redeemer? Where was the Lord of life and glory? The tomb was empty. And they were not left in that condition. Thou didst mercifully go unto them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And like dear Mary, when she is also found at the tomb, and that which was before her eyes when she saw that emptiness there, she wept. But oh, thou knewest her case also, and thou didst draw near unto her and speak, Mary. Ah, and what a difference that voice made when she heard it. Mary, she could then answer, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. Oh, once again Christ revealed to her the hope of glory. Once again that one, the altogether lovely. And oh, when we're having a glimpse of the altogether lovely in the midst of our trials, oh, what a difference it makes. Does it not sweeten the pain? Ah, there is a sanctifying effect, is there not, of a view of Christ through the lattice of the gospel when we're in troubles and trials. And then we prove the words, do we not, as we read them. Ah, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. Then, a poor sinner can rejoice in the midst of his troubles when the Lord does speak, when he does glimpse through the lattice of the gospel, that one. Then I saw him. I found him whom my soul loveth, as a laying hold by faith again upon thee. O Lord, thou knowest then each one's path, even at the moment, and that which is before them, and if they're spared into another year, and perhaps it seems such impossibilities. But, O Lord, is anything too hard for thee? Is anything too hard for thee? Oh, may they prove that truly there is nothing that is too hard for thee. Nothing. Oh, that one, the creator of all things, by whom are all things, is able to do for his people more than they can ask or even think. Oh, have not some of us proved it? We know we shall have to prove it again and again, for there is that which also is the trial of your faith and our faith, my faith, the trial of our faith. But oh, what a mercy. When we prove there's a little burning up of some dross and tin that needs to be consumed. We need much refining still, we have a will down to the end of our days. But oh, often is it not in the furnace of afflictions, furnace of trials, the furnace of difficulties. May it please you then. Perhaps one, even at the moment, might be yet brought to that place where they can say, I was good, I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And they prove that through those afflictions, they learnt more of their wretched self and more of a precious Christ. Lord, we plead for it. Once again, we plead for the dear young friends and especially as we see the very young ones, the babes in arms and those that are growing up. Lord, remember them, we plead, in this dark and evil day. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience, and keep them close to thee, and work in their hearts whilst young in years, if it could please thee, thy tender fear. That fear of the Lord, which is a beginning of wisdom. And they grow up and go on into life, help them there. Enable them to cast all their cares. Cast all their cares upon thee. Or whether it is those positions, places of employment, associations, seeking partners in life. Lord, thou knowest. Enable them to roll these burdens upon thee. May they... Lord, we can look back, can some of us not look back to that time when it was so with us? These things were great, great burdens. We couldn't just enter into them. There was that casting our cares upon thee. although we do not have that knowledge that we have now, which is by faith. But there was that venturing even then, for it was a necessity. A necessity, especially in these things which are very important. And what a mercy when the Spirit moves even the young. Moves us when we were young and perhaps we had more of a worldly spirit instead the rest of the time. But oh, when there's that moving in the heart of the Spirit and we had to commit these ways and these concerns into thy hands and watch for thy appearing. And so, Lord, we plead, undertake for our dear young friends and manage all by the way unto the end. And may they prove in time, as we quoted this morning, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Yes, they'll have to prove many times, even as Jacob, wrestling prayer. That wrestling prayer that can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits, that prayer that can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. But oh, may they prove even as Jacob. Yes, he had to wait many years before there was a performance of those things. It seemed at times, no doubt, to him a hopeless case. But oh, when he saw the wagons coming, fainted away, did he not? He fainted away. But oh, may they prove even as Jacob. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So, Lord, we plead for our young friends as they go on into life and all the prospects there. Yes, there are many things, are there not? Many things that have to be contended with in our day. Those things which they lawfully seek for. Those burdens. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and prove that all these other things shall be added unto you. Do remember those in the midst of life. Perhaps there's been a little break for the moment for some, but now there are those things which have to be entered into again, labouring for the meat which perisheth. Whether it is the busy scenes of life of a housewife and mother in the home, through to those in retirement, but all the busy scenes, the cares. Lord, may they prove that there is that shepherd and bishop that goes before them. That shepherd and bishop of their souls that has carried them all the days of old. That one that, like that good shepherd, that cares much for his sheep, goes before his sheep. Those shepherds of old, they went before their sheep. They went in that unknown path, and they led them forth that right way. Ah, Lord, may it please thee. They may prove in the midst of it all, and sweetly prove the good shepherd that's gone before. As leading them forth for that right way. Yes, even for those dark and mysterious things, those crooks in the lot at times, those strange and mysterious places which cause us to tremble. The old adversary, yeah, often at the time, at times is he not stirred up to say, where is now thy God? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But all proving this, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So, Lord, remember each one in all that concerns them in the midst of life. The cares that pertain to each one's individual path. Lord, remember those in the even time of life when they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, Lord, do be their sufficiency, their strength. Ah, Lord, we think of our own dear mother now in her 92nd year. There are those that have been brought to great age. They now feel the infirmities of age, the afflictions, and the grasshopper becomes a burden. At times life becomes a burden, but, O Lord, comfort them, we plead. Ah, comfort their hearts, and may it please thee, grant them those tokens for good, those tokens of thy special care. Be their remembrancer, Lord, the Spirit. Be their remembrancer, the Holy Spirit. Bring to remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken unto them. And may they be able to say, ah, that one that has helped them hitherto will help them all their journey through and give them daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And oh, may they see that blessed truth and rejoice in it. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I'd have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, blessed truth indeed. But Lord, remember also the afflicted ones, the afflicted in Zion. Oh, there are many afflictions. Afflictions abound. There are some things which are seasonal, but oh, how they can lay low and bring into those very low places in feeling, in feelings, in the mind. And but also those afflictions which have come in a moment, and Lord, we perhaps wonder where the scene will end. Lord, this one we find we're often trembling, so fearful and are afraid. But, O Lord, it now is to fall into the hands of the heavenly potter and say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Only lead me forth for that right way, that I might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. O Lord, there's one time in particular when we had to, we're brought to that place of submission. That place of submission, we couldn't give it to ourselves. For Lord, thou knowest how we, by nature, we rebel. We hate afflictions and trials. But when thou dost give that gracious submission, oh, then we know a little of that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The world would not understand it. Lord, we knew of it a little in a hospital bed even 2 years ago. A little of that peace of God in the midst of it all. Oh, that peace of God, which we could not describe to anyone, but how real it was. And so, Lord, we plead, grant it to those in affliction. Sanctify the path and sweeten the pain, and bless all the means used for their good. Oh, bless all the means used for their good. And now, O Lord, we plead for Zion, and yes, they're gathering together thy people here and elsewhere this evening hour. And thy servants have gone forth to labour in thy name. Oh, may it please thee. There might be those wrought upon by the Spirit. And as thy servants wrought upon also by the Spirit and able to speak, might be that truly wrought in Zion, whereby the deaf will be made to hear, and the blind made to see, and the dumb being able to speak. It might be even this night, to loose him, to loose her, and let them go. Or a poor sinner brought into the sweet liberty of the gospel, where they have to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Oh, we plead for it. Lord, remember then Zion. Bless that which has been done in the earlier part of the day and the labours of thy servants. And Lord, may it please thee. Grant thy Spirit's aid this night to speak her and hear us. Lord, we're in great need. Without thee, we can do nothing. If the speaker was to speak without the Spirit enabling, our words would just fall to the ground, or just satisfy the natural ear. And, O Lord, we cannot hear either unless the Spirit take us in hand and give that hearing ear. And so, Lord, we plead, may we be in the Spirit on this, the Sabbath evening, and do us each good and send none empty away. But, O Lord, once again we thank thee for all thy mercies, temporal and spiritual. Lord, we have much to thank thee for thou hast brought us even to this moment of time. We have many blessings strewn in our path. They're more than can be numbered. And, O Lord, we have the precious word of thy truth, of thy grace, and thy favour towards poor sinners, and that which was seen flowing from beneath the throne of God and the Lamb, that stream. Ah, what a mercy. That stream has not dried up, and neither will it. And as Ezekiel saw that river, what a mercy it was, not just to the ankles, not just to the calves, not just to the loins, but waters to swim in, waters that could not be passed over. And on the bank of that river was growing all trees bearing all manner of fruit for the healing of the nations. And oh, when that fruit was removed, there was as much of a bounty still. And so, Lord, what a mercy. We have that bounty, we've tasted of it. We've tasted that thou art gracious in the past year. Oh, may it please thee then, that we might fall into thy hands if we are brought even over the threshold into another year, if it could please thee, if it is thy will. And so, Lord, accept our praises. And, O Lord, as we would then look back, it was to look forward, in that right way. They was to go forth with faith, venturing that the Lord is able to provide and will provide for those things necessary for time of eternity, providence and grace. Now, O Lord, help me. Help this poor trembling sinner. Pour in that we once again may pour out. Lord, thou knowest how often we fall to fearing and trembling, even as we stand in the pulpit. And how often we felt the adversary at our right hand, that real foe. And we've had to plead that promise thou didst give us those years ago before we ventured in thy name. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, may there be a proving of it this night. Lord, do then bless us each together. Pardon and forgive our many sins, our failings and our shortcomings, and where we failed in our asking, do be pleased and make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
In 1041, oh, where is now that glowing love that marked our union with the Lord? Our hearts were fixed on things above, nor could the world one joy afford. Hymn 1041.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. The first book of Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The first book of Samuel, chapter 7, and verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." That stone, as a margin, reads, "A stone of help." A stone of help. And what a mercy if you and I can look back and see from time to time when the Spirit so enables us, those stones of help. Those stones are which mark out the place and the path which the Lord, our God, hath led us these years in the wilderness. And what a wilderness it is. One time, was it not a pleasant place, the world? It was full of opportunities and exciting things, things that attracted the natural mind and the eyes. But under grace, the workings of grace in the heart. And as those years have gone on, it is now more and more a wilderness. And truly a waste, howling wilderness, full of dangers and dark places and things hard to be understood. Full of our enemies that rise up. Full of those things which take us by surprise and we are brought to tremble in a moment. A waste, howling wilderness. But can we not say it has been hitherto? Brink of the close of another year, and the brink or the threshold of a new year is before us, is it not? Ah, may we raise that Ebenezer. How solemn if we have never raised an Ebenezer to his praise. How solemn if we can't even, and never have been brought into the language of the psalmist from time to time. And perhaps one feels, will that day ever come? If there's that work of grace begun in the heart and that longing after Christ and his righteousness, there truly will be that day. There will be that day when you will also be enabled to sing in measure that song of praise. And we seek for it in Zion. We seek for it when, what a mercy when we hear of those at times of, as it were, good news from a far country, this one or that one, under the influence of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit, when there's that, loose him, loose her, and let them go. They venture by faith, and they tell out to sinners round, that's that stone, that's that raising of that Ebenezer. And they were to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to his redeeming blood and say, "Behold, the way to God." And you're then proven, as we tried to speak then this morning concerning that candlestick and those golden pipes that came from those olive trees, one on the either side, and that ever-flowing stream of oil that kept that light burning. And it was not dependent upon a man. It speaks of that which is of Christ. And that which is of the grace of God. Those things which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Those blessings which are Christ obtained for his people. Those blessings. Yes. those blessings concerning their never dying soul, their need as sinners. Those olive trees there, one on the right and one on the left, and that bowl. And no doubt that bowl was ever full. There was a sufficiency there, and as it went off down those different tubes, if we can put in those pipes, to the seven lamps, and those lamps were kept burning. Ah, the poor sinner will prove that. Prove that all the days of his life, that sufficiency which resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides the answer our need. That sufficiency, that fullness. Ah, as I thought upon it again a little earlier, oh, what a mercy we read concerning that foundation stone. That foundation stone. And also the headstone. Ah, that foundation, which is Christ. That foundation, which is Christ, and all which is built upon it, is all of Christ. It is of his grace. And ah, when the end of those days come, what a mercy when, ah, there is that headstone, the finisher of that work, the finish of that work, and we read, do we not? That one that is the author of that work will finish it also. That author of that work will finish it. It's not dependent upon you, never will be dependent upon you. Dear old David, with his last words, he had that dependence, did he not? For he knew in himself his old nature. He knew of himself that which is old nature that troubled him. And so did the apostle. But old David, when he uttered his last words, he had to say, although my house be not so with God, that which was of himself, that which is old nature. But he could say, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, that he knew that, there was nothing in himself that his salvation didn't depend upon any works of his, for as much that testified against him and ever would testify against him. Be made with me an everlasting covenant. That's that top stone. That's the foundation stone, and all that is between and that top stone. Oh, and that headstone. When we talk about the headstone, is it not then the completion of a building? The headstone. But ah, who art thou, O great mountain? David had many mountains, and so are you, poor sinner. Great mountains. Great mountains. David, you look at David's life. I read that psalm because it speaks those manifold blessings and favours to David in his pathway, when we read at the top of that psalm, when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, where you know how Saul pursued him. Saul pursued him continually. Ah, and no doubt at times he wondered whether, and felt as if Saul would take his life. Many times when he felt that distress, in my distress. These are the mountains, they cause distress. Those impossibilities, they're mountains, they cause distress. And especially when an enemy is behind. And perhaps you don't know where that enemy is, and he can't be far away. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And in those times of distress, what we find often, the sorrows of death, it brings into reality our end and the sorrows of death, and eternity and our never-dying soul, our need as a sinner. That brings the sorrows of hell. The sorrows of hell. And nothing can be greater sorrow than that, even as David there described it, the sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. Enemies then, pursuing you, you're found like that heart, pursued by that enemy after it, as a heart panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. I've often found that psalm a sweet psalm indeed. How often it is pursued by an enemy. But what does it do for us? And that's that oil of grace, keeping your soul alive. My soul thirsteth. My soul thirsteth for God. That oil that will not fail you, that which, as we said, is not dependent upon you or any other man, but there it flowed. Kept those lamps alight. I believe I mentioned in prayer that which we read of, do we not, that flow from beneath the throne of God and the Lamb, that river of his grace. These are those descriptive accounts of that. To bring it to into our mind and seal it there when we think upon it. Enabled by the Spirit to consider it, what a favour indeed. And as Ezekiel saw it, quoted it in prayer, did I not? I believe it was in prayer. And it's a mercy indeed that it is there recorded thus, not just to the ankles, not just to the ankles, not a stream that might dry up at any moment when the sun comes out and there's a period of dry weather. Not just to the calves, not just to the loins, but waters to swim in, waters that cannot be passed over. As we said concerning those trees, what a mercy. Those trees, for the healing of the nations, they carried all manner of fruit. Oh, and that figurative language speaks of the unfailing mercy and grace of Almighty God to poor sinners, and as that one is brought to pant after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Those times then, when the sorrows of death, the sorrows of hell compass you, and the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. But oh, in my distress, as we said, David, the path of David, the path of Jacob, the path of those ones we have on record here. It's the same God, poor sinner. On the threshold of another year, the same God, the God of David, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Joseph. The God of the Apostle Paul. He had to prove this also, did he not? And what a trial it was to him. We don't know what that trial was, but that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. The Lord permitted it to come, and no doubt his old flesh didn't like it, and he cried. Did he not cry, pray thrice that it might be taken away from him? No doubt those cries were earnest cries. No doubt those cries, he wondered where the scene would end, what the outcome would be. And certainly because his flesh didn't like it. But I will call upon the Lord. And he called upon the Lord, but it wasn't that answer he desired. But it wasn't the answer his flesh desired. But faith would have approved it well, and no doubt did approve it well. But you may not get the answer that you require either. There may be those mountains. And you'll have to prove this. My thoughts are not as your thoughts, but the outcome will be this. In the end of your days will be the headstone. There will be that which eventually end up with the headstone. And you'll be able to come even there. Grace, grace. At the end of your days, grace. Acknowledging it is grace and grace alone, sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. The hymn writer, it came to my mind also. That hymn of Newton's. I turned to it just before we stood up again, but oh, what a mercy. Even as Newton penned it and is left on record for us also, whereby he had to come like this, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. But oh, as he goes on through that hymn, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. Yes, he had to prove that grace. Had to prove that grace also. Well, Newton knew what trials were. Grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. But all this third verse, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. I don't know what time of his life he penned this hymn, but his enabled, was it not this hitherto? Was it not an Ebenezer stone, but he knew there would be yet those things to come. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. This grace has brought me thus far, safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That grace. That grace, yes. As we said concerning that headstone, yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, a mortal life shall cease, I shall possess the veil within the veil, a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. There was that glorious prospect. And that glorious prospect kept his soul alive. He was able to go again, like even as David. He went again and again. With cries unto the Lord. He said in his latter speech, latter words, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me. He saw by faith, that finished work, that which was accomplished by Christ for him. And he knew then, as we said, those sorrows at times, places where the sorrows of hell, sorrows of hell. And how often we find, even as we quoted in prayer, the Lord's people, they often walk in darkness. They that fear the Lord, they've obeyed the voice of his servants, but they walk in darkness and have no light. Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, he'll find that it's not through his own doing, but the Spirit. That which we're dependent on, the Spirit will keep that soul alive and keep that one even there. Why art thou cast down? That one that pants after the water brooks. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Ah, that's that grace that kept him alive. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help. Ah, the blessed word there, the help of his countenance. The help of his countenance. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice. Oh, have you known then in time past and proved that he's heard your voice? Heard your voice, the cries of the one in his distress. I know I've often quoted in this, what a mercy it's left also on record for us, when David, when Ziklag was burned with fire and it appeared a hopeless case there, did it not? But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Ah, and is it not that hymn that comes to my mind again? Ah, as we said, the language of the hymn writers, what experimental language we have. Why those fears? Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus. What a mercy then. David proved it. The apostle proved it. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm. Ah, as we said, what a mercy if you're amongst the Lord's people and you're bound up in that covenant ordered in all things and sure, and there's that grace and that unmerited favour towards you. Yes, in those times when there's mountains, dark places, he holds a helm. Holds a helm and guides the ship. Holds a helm. We read in the word, do we not, that that shepherd, that good shepherd, goeth before his sheep and leadeth them forth by the right way. Ah, in the midst of your troubles and trials and those mountains, ah, have you proved it in the past? He's led you forth by that right way, brought you out of that trouble, brought you into the light. Ah, when you've been able to praise him, but now, as you wonder where the scene will end. The old adversary says, I believe we quoted in prayer also, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? These are trials for the Lord's people when the old adversary, as we said before, that heart that panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. We read in that same chapter, that same psalm, thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Enlighten my darkness, your darkness. Those mountains which, they're dark places, they loom up, do they not? In the valleys it's a dark place. He who hath helped me hitherto. Those hitherto's, have you not got them? Did he not light your light in your dark place then? Did he not throw a precious word, the word that brought light into your soul, light into the path? Did he not enable you to fall into the hands of the living God? It was 2 years ago, I believe it was, and oh, how I felt to be in such a dark place. And yes, it's when we're brought into those places again, we find that our faith becomes so, our faith is tried. And that little faith, that little grain of faith wonders, we begin to wonder whether we believe anything. We wonder where all our hope is. I can picture the place in my mind now. It was in a graveyard. How the Lord in a moment, yes, blessed be his holy name, the sorrows of hell, yes, the adversary, as we said, the sorrows of hell, when it seems though you wonder whether you've got any hope anymore, and that which you thought you had, it seems so obscured, so hidden by a dark cloud. But is this poor one had to prove that day? Yes, even concerning the children of Israel, where they were commanded to go forth when the cloud moved, that pillar of fire by night and that cloud by day, and oh, how we were brought to see there. Yes, at times we cannot see. But there's that venturing by faith, there's that falling into his hands. Why those fears? Yes, we're creatures of fear, and I was full of fears up to that moment of time. As I said, it was in a graveyard and the Lord appeared. And I felt there, yes, as that word concerning the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. When the cloud was to move, they were to go forward. And yet, because of that cloud, they couldn't see. The way was still obscure, but they had to venture. They ventured by faith, even though they knew there was an enemy about. There was an enemy about somewhere, no doubt. Well, you know what it's like when a thick fog comes down. You can see low cloud and you can't see beyond it. But oh, when that cloud moved, they went. They went by faith. They were commanded to go forward. And this poor sinner, there was that command to go forward. Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And the word, just that word to this poor sinner that day, was that all of his grace that flowed into my soul. It flowed into my soul and lifted up my weak hands, strengthened my weak hands and confirmed my feeble knees. It was that which enabled me to go on. Yes, and a little later that morning, I had to say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Falling into the hands of the heavenly potter, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. And it was that I was enabled to commit it all into the Lord's hands. And you may have that before you. The unknown way, the fears of it. But the blessed Comforter. I thought of reading that portion out of John's Gospel. I must turn to it at the time that he'd gone. That time when it was so with oneself then. And I felt the truth of this word. And a poor sinner needs it, does he not? The poor sinner needs the comfort of this word, if I can lay my eyes upon it. In the midst of all the fears. Yes, as I said, when the Lord spoke to me that day, I felt the Comforter. Then we're enabled like the hymn writer. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds a helm and guides a ship. Spread the sail, enable me in that way to spread the sails and catch the breezes. Ascend to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Yes, it'll be like this, though the shore. So he said, the cloud obscures the way, but they're venturing by faith. Though the shore we hope to land on, only by report is known. Yet we freely all abandon, led by that report alone. And with Jesus, through the trackless deep move on. And I prove this word, as I said, I wonder whether to read that chapter, but you read it at your leisure. A 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Concerning the Comforter, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and you will know him, you'll prove him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then going on, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones. The two anointed ones, as we said this morning, it speaks of the Holy Spirit, Christ and the Holy Spirit. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Why those fears then? Led by him, we brave the ocean, each tumultuous storm defy, calm amidst tempestuous motion, knowing that the Lord is nigh. Waves obey him, and the storms before him fly. Rendered safe by his protection, we shall pass the watery waste. Trusting to his wise direction, we shall gain the port at last. And with wonder, think on toils and dangers past. Oh, think upon those toils and dangers past, and with wonder. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £690, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Charles Warboys will preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper afterwards. And our friends at Oakington hold a prayer meeting tomorrow morning, and our friends at St. Ives hold a prayer meeting, God willing, on Thursday evening. Let us close with hymn 346. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound, his grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the souls he delights to defend. Hymn 346.
Found dependent upon thy grace and thy grace alone. For thy word declares, for by grace ye must be saved. And so that foundation which grace layeth, Will it not be then, in due time, before we come to the close of our days, as I come to the close of our days here below, there will be that topstone, that headstone. Ah, for thou art the author and finisher of that work. And what a mercy thy word declares, I will work. And who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Grace alone. Pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Bless that which is of thee, seal it upon the heart. May it be attended by the power of the Spirit. Oh, may it yet redound to thine honour and thy glory, that thy name shall have all the praise. Take us now to our homes in peace and safety, we plead. Ah, and as we are brought then to the close of this another year, we thank thee for thy mercies, and we will commit ourselves into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Oh, go before us, we plead, every step of the way. Undertake for us and manage all by the way unto the end. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.